Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Bible says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to come before your word again tonight. Lord, thank you for that message from Brother Jesse there. Lord, he's been such a blessing and asset over at Victory. And Lord, we've watched him grow in his preaching over the last couple of years. And Lord, that was powerful. Thank you for it. And Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight, Lord, as we focus in again on your word. I realize they've had a big day here. And what a blessing, Lord, 450-something people here this afternoon. And Lord, I know folks are tired. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to focus in, though, these last few minutes and get what you have for us. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated, please. We've really had a great stretch over at Victory. And God's been good to us. We've got folks that are faithful in witnessing and visiting. That's a blessing. And so the Lord's been very good to us. I think we went, like I said, we had 70, I think we went 76, 75, 77, 3 weeks in a program, and then had a little bit of drop right after that, I think down to like high 60s or something like that, which, man, breaking 70 for us over there on a consistent basis has been something I'm like, man, dreaming of, you know? And I'm like, oh, man. But we finally hit it, and boy, that was exciting, and that was good, and we had actually almost an entire family. We got a couple little smaller kids that got saved, baptized. The mother, Amber, and then Kayleen and Wyatt baptized all three of them on the same day a couple of weeks ago. And then had one of our faithful church teenage young ladies, just a young teenager. She got the assurance of her salvation, and we baptized her, I think, the next week. And so the Lord's really been good to us. But I was thinking here a few weeks ago, I was thinking, man, Lord, I was thinking about the potential. Like if all of the people who've been saved in the last 8+ years would have stuck and accomplished God's will for their life. Man, you talk about potential. And think about all the thousands of people who've been saved through Blessed Hope the last 45 years. And think about even, you know, the core folks, and think about all the potential there. And man, I was just thinking about that, and I was like, Lord, why? And here's the question that I had. I was like, why, Lord, why does God save the lost? Why does God save the lost? And can I submit to you this, first of all, that God doesn't have to save the lost? He didn't have to. God is creator God. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, folks, and do you realize at that moment God could have vaporized this thing and been done and would have been justified in doing so? He didn't have to do anything. He's God. He's not obligated to do anything. He can do whatever he wants to. And so I'm thinking about this thing. Why does God save the lost? Furthermore, folks, you understand that it is God here who orchestrated and enacted salvation's plan. And when I started to think about that, I was like, Lord, you know, these, I don't know, 450-something people who've been saved at Victory in the last 8.5, almost 9 years, Lord, why did you save them? I mean, Lord, it, by the way, God's salvation plan cost God an awful lot. You ever thought about it that way? Why would God go through that? Why would he go through all of that just to save sinners? Folks who had sinned against him. Folks who had transgressed his commandment. Folks who had done what they had done. Why would God do that? Why would God the Father send his Son to earth, watch his Son endure such contradiction of sinners against himself? That verse that Brother Jesse read. Why would God the Father behold his Son become sin for the world, turn his back and forsake his Son while he was on the cross? Watch his Son die on the cross as wicked men looked on, and then watch as Satan and his evil forces cheer the death of the Son of God? Why would God the Father want to sign up and do that? I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, just as much God as God the Father. Why would God the Son, Jesus Christ, want to give his life for sinners? Why would he want to go through what he went through? And I thought about going through the whole stuff. Brother Jesse hit some of it there. But I thought, man, why, Lord Jesus, would you want to, you know, go through the beating and the scourging and the mocking and the all of the stuff, the ridicule that he faced? And even I think, you know, my relationship with my dad is my closest relationship that I have. The hardest thing, I've said this before, I think probably here, the hardest thing that I endured leaving Kentucky and coming up here was leaving my dad. That was tough, man. I mean, my dad, I was working on my trailer some yesterday. I got some issues with my trailer, and I was talking to dad about it. He's like, when you get done with your trailer, I need you to come work on mine. I was like, okay, dad. And so there's a few days of my summer right there. But you know what? Listen, folks, I used to do everything with my dad. And I think the hardest thing that the Lord Jesus and God the Father endured was that point there when Jesus cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's worse than anything else Jesus physically endured, having the Father turn his back. Why would God do this, man? Why does God want to save the lost? And by the way, you realize I could ask the question this way, why does God save you and me? Why did God save you and me? Why does God desire to save the folks who are lost in your family and in your workplace? Why does God want those people to get saved? Why does God give you and I commission to go and to share the gospel with them? Why did he do that? Why does God save the lost? So that's what I'll focus on quickly this evening. Let me say this by way of introduction tonight. I'm glad God seeks and saves the lost. Amen. Amen right there. There is ample Bible proof that God loves to save that which was lost. Let me run through some scripture here for you quickly. Ezekiel 34, verse 16, Bible says, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment, God says. Matthew 15, 24, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, God says. Matthew chapter 18, verse 11, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Luke chapter, you're in Luke 19. Turn back a couple of pages to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to have you probably turn after this to maybe two or three other passages quickly, but it'll be a little bit later on. Look at Luke chapter 15, verse 3. We're talking about why does God save the lost? There's ample Bible proof that God loves to save that which was lost. Luke chapter 15, verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. When he cometh home, he called together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You see that right there? God loves to save that which was lost. Again, Luke 19:10, our text passage, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. Folks, listen, if you're here tonight and you are saved, you're the blood-bought, born-again child of God, you ought to thank God every single day for that. You realize where you were going? Realize where you were heading? Heading to the lake of fire? You ever read about that in the Bible? You ever read through what's waiting for the folks in hell? You ever read about that, folks? Well, if you're saved tonight, you better thank God for that. Hey, listen, folks, I was on my way to a devil's hell. Hey, listen, folks, I was without hope apart from Jesus Christ, but he saved me when I was 12 years old. Thank God for that. And listen, folks, I got heaven as my home. I've got the rapture as my hope. I've got God as my Father, Jesus as my friend, the Holy Spirit as my help, the Word of God as my guide, and the church as my family. Folks, I'm thankful that I'm saved tonight. But I thought about this question, why does God save the lost? And I want to give you a few things this evening quickly. These aren't all the reasons, just some of the reasons, okay? Let me give you some things here tonight I think will help us. Number one, watch this. Why does God save the lost? I like this one. God has a plan for every life, and that plan begins at salvation. Think about that. Take a Bible and turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. God has a plan for every single life, and that plan begins with salvation. See, y'all had 454 people this afternoon. Pastor Ross texted me that. You know my first thought when he texted me you had 454 people? This is completely carnal and worldly and sinful. 454, you know what I thought? Man, that was a good engine. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. But anyway, amen. But listen, folks, Jeremiah chapter 1, man, praise God for 454 people. Hey, Brother Reiser had 90. Praise God. That's exciting. And you know what? Listen, folks, all 454 of those people that were here this afternoon, God has a plan for every single one of them. And God's plan for them begins at salvation. Look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The Bible says this, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." These verses show us, first of all, abortion crowd, the life begins at conception. Deal with it. Amen right there. But it also shows us here that each life that is conceived by Almighty God has a plan and a specific purpose. Newsflash, folks, think about this. Jeremiah, when God said what he said there about Jeremiah, listen, folks, Jeremiah, God had a plan for him when he was in his mama's belly. And at that particular moment, folks, he was lost and without Christ. When God had a plan already detailed for his life. See, like in our minds, I think we like picture Jeremiah born a prophet unto the nations. Not how it worked. Jeremiah was born and he had to be raised and go through the normal childhood. And then at some point in Jeremiah's life, this mighty prophet, first of all, had to put his faith in a coming Messiah. Listen, folks, he never becomes a mighty prophet unto the nations if he doesn't first of all trust in the coming Messiah. And so God had this wonderful plan that included becoming this mighty prophet to the nation, but that plan, folks, began at the time of salvation, okay? And so I'm talking tonight about why does God save the lost? God saves the lost specifically because he has a plan for them. Don't miss this. God's plan for an unsaved, unborn, lost child named Jeremiah included that he trust in a coming Messiah, give his life to the Lord, and become the great prophet that God desired him to be. That's an amazing thought to me, folks. Even when you and I were still in our sins and the enemies of God, God still had a plan for our life, still had a purpose for our life, and that plan began in your life and my life the moment that we trusted Christ. What are you saying, brother? I'm saying this. There's lost people out here that we're going to meet this week. Why is it important that you and I share the gospel with them this week? You don't know who that person's going to be. There may be the next, you know, the next bus captain at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that's going to get one this week if we're faithful to share the gospel with them. You don't know what God's plan is for their life. I don't know what God's, well, we have a tendency to look at people, well, they don't look like they need the Lord. You have no clue what they need Jesus. That's what they need. And we may look at somebody, well, they're too bad. Listen, folks, the Bible talks about Paul, the chief of sinners. He's the worst one. And listen, folks, he needed the Lord, so everybody else does too. Okay. Listen, folks, the fact of the matter is, you know what? We're talking about why does God save the lost? God saves the lost because he has a plan for their life, and that plan begins at salvation. That means this, folks. That means that lost folks are loved in the eyes of Almighty God. Means that lost folks are important in the eyes of Almighty God. That means that the only thing between a lost person and fulfilling God's plan for their life is for them to get saved and begin growing in the Lord. God has a plan for each and every person. That plan, listen, folks, begins at the point of salvation. Number two, then, watch this. Why does God save sinners? Number two, God saves sinners because he loves them. Amen right there. Hey, Brother Gerald, that's elementary. That's just elementary enough to be true and right. Now listen, folks, fact of the matter is, you know what? For the last 8.5 years, we've had Sunday school at Victory Baptist Church. And for the last 8 years, Brother Gordon, not one Sunday have we missed. Well, I don't stand behind the pulpit and sing with the kids, Jesus loves me, this I know. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Lit, right? And like we sing that now as a Christian, and it's like, oh man, here we go again. Are you kidding me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Boy, I'll tell you what, thank God Jesus loves us. Maybe you've forgotten the fact that God loves you. Maybe you've neglected to think about and to remember the fact that God loves you. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. 1 John 3:16. I kind of love that. John 3:16 and 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he hath laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. There's not a greater truth in all the word of God, folks, and Jesus loves me, this I know. Not a greater one. God desires to save sinners. God longs to save sinners. God is minded to save sinners because of his great love for them. We would look at somebody like a Stalin or a Hitler or more recently a bin Laden or an Assad. And we would say, man, there's no way. There's no way that God could love somebody that would do that type of atrocity. And yet, you know the crazy thing about it is, God loves every single one of them. And furthermore, God loved them enough that if they would have been the only one, we say this all the time, don't we, out witnessing to people, that if that person would have been the only one, God's salvation plan would have still gone through because of his great love for them. Thank God for that, right? But listen very carefully, folks. God loves to save sinners. Why? Because God has a plan for their life, and that plan begins with salvation because, number two, of his great love for them. Number three, God saves the lost because they cannot save themselves. See, that's a problem we got with a lot of people today. Like, I got a whole lot of people over in Bloomfield that they believe they can get baptized for salvation. Sorry. Hey, if you're trusting in your baptism to get you to heaven, you're going to wind up straight in hell. You're going to get baptized in hell. It's called a lake of fire. Amen right there. If you're trusting in your baptism to get you to heaven here, you're going to get baptized in a lake of fire one of these days. Well, listen, folks, I led to a guy at the Lord over there on every, I can't tell you the church, I'm still in Greene County, aren't I? We're close. I'm almost in a different county. But listen, folks, I led a guy to the Lord's committee, leader of different committees at this church over there in Bloomfield. Had to go back and forth 2 hours with this guy, showing him in the scripture that salvation's not by works. Hey, listen, folks, you know why God loves to save sinners? Because they can't save themselves. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Has nothing to do with works. Nothing to do with giving money to the church, joining the church, getting baptized in the church, serving the church. That had nothing to do with that. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Watch this. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Throughout the word of God, you'll find that God always takes upside for the one who cannot help themselves. I love that about God. We're not going to read it tonight, but in John chapter 8, there was a woman who was caught in sin. And there were unmerciful men with stone in hand, ready to put this woman to death. The woman was caught in the act. She was guilty. The penalty that they were clamoring for was justified. And yet, what did God do? He that's without sin, let him cast the first stone. Jesus looks up, woman, where'd they go? Go and sin no more. Well, I love that. That woman, listen, folks, you know what? That woman, she had no hope in that situation. There was a band of wicked men. Listen, folks, wicked men. They were getting ready to have this, right? She had no help, no hope outside the Lord Jesus Christ. God saves the lost, folks, because they cannot save themselves. And these folks that are lost today, listen, folks, you know what? They don't understand. Well, you know what? I'll deal with that when you listen. You have a condemnation on your life right this minute. If you're here tonight and you're lost. Hey, it's not, listen, right now, if you died right now, you ain't got no time. He preached a message before about the time frame, the time frame that a lost soul takes to get to hell. You ain't got time to make another choice. You ain't got time to put it off, okay? And yet what we see, listen, folks, is God always takes up cause for the ones who cannot help themselves. By the way, that's every single one of us. Jesus' blood was shed on the cross of Calvary, and it's sufficient for all sin. But you got this principle here. One of the reasons why God saves sinners like you and me is because we cannot save ourselves. And God's love for us and mercy towards us has compelled him to pay for our sin debt. Number four, watch this. Why does God save the lost? Number one, God has a plan for every life, and that plan begins with salvation. Number two, God saves the lost because he loves them. Number three, God saves the lost because they cannot save themselves. Number four, watch this. Well, I love this. God saves the lost because he loves to watch them become productive servants of his. God loves that. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 15. You're back just a couple of pages, right? Where are you at now? I got you somewhere in the Bible. Are you somewhere in the Bible? I don't know. Hey, if you're in the songbook, you're in the close. I don't know. Somewhere. I want to show you a couple of places. I want to go to Luke 15, and then I also want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to show you a couple of things here, folks. All right. Watch this. Luke 15, 7. Here's the verse we read just a couple of minutes ago. He says this, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repent. Y'all see that? God loves to save the lost, right? Woo! Thank God for that. Amen. But God ain't content there. Pastor Ross, I know that you've got folks that have been saved at Blessed Hope Baptist Church recently. We've got folks at Victory that have been saved recently. If you've been saved recently, watch this. God's not content with just saving your soul from hell. Remember that plan in point number one we talked about? God wants to take your life and do so much more. He wants to do more with you and with your life than you can even think or imagine, folks. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go to it. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So Luke 15, God loves to seek these folks that are lost and save them. Both thank God for that. We go out and witness to folks and win them to Christ and all that. Thank God for that. But that's not it, folks. That's just the beginning of this plan. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, watch this. What a fantastic passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yeah, we say that. What a fantastic passage. They're all fantastic passages, right? Hey, but for the message tonight, this is a fantastic passage, right? Come on, man. You understand that. Brother Gerald, are you saying that another passage isn't? No, I'm not saying that. 2 Corinthians 5, watch this. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So when we get saved, that's when God seeks and saves that which was lost. Thank God for that. We realize our sin. Realize our penalty of sin is death in hell for all of eternity. Understand and believe the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ lived a perfect life, died on the cross, shed his blood, rose again the third day to pay for our sin. And if we'll simply confess our sin to God, put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, he'll save us. Thank God for that. So we're a new creature now that we get saved. The Holy Spirit of God has now taken up residence inside. We're a new creature. Our triune being has gone through a threefold transformation. Our sinful flesh is still alive. We still deal with it. But we're commanded now to crucify our flesh, to die to our flesh daily. Right? Second of all, our soul has been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption when we'll be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ as his bride, and we can never lose our salvation because of that fact. Thank God for that. But third of all, then, our spirit, this is the part of us that communicates with God. Before we were saved, this spirit was dead inside of us. But the moment that we get saved, the Bible word is quickened, made us alive again. Made that spirit alive. We have a reborn spirit now. That reborn spirit can communicate with God and desires to obey and to follow the word of God, the will of God. Thank God for the spirit inside of us that's been regenerated, right? Thank God for that. And so all things have been passed away. All things become new. We're a new creature. But watch this, verse 18. And all things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. That's salvation. Reconciled, brought back into fellowship with, right? Salvation. And hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, he's now talking, folks. He's done talking about our position in Christ after we get saved. Now he's going to talk about after we get saved, after salvation. Now then, because we are saved, because we've been born again, because we have pled the blood and gotten saved, got our taken care of, because of that, what should we do? Watch this. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made in the righteousness of God in him. You see, folks, listen, one of God's greatest pleasure, I believe, is seeing lost folks come to Christ. But I think a close second to that is seeing saved folks who have just trusted in Christ begin to grow in their relationship with Christ and to become an ambassador for Jesus Christ. That's why God saves the lost. God saves the lost so that they then become another ambassador of Jesus Christ to the world around them. Right. Thank God for that. One of the highest honors in our country, folks, is an ambassador. You go literally as a representative of the United States to another foreign country. Hey, man, that's a high honor. Hey, can I tell you, folks, we got a higher honor being an ambassador of Christ. Hey, listen, man, I love our country. I bleed red, white, and blue. I love our country. But listen, folks, you know what? I serve the King of Kings. I don't serve a president. I serve the King of Kings. And it's a pleasure. It's an honor. It's a blessing to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ. Thank God for that, right? So God's desire in saving sinners is not just that they escape hell and get to go to heaven. God desires them to become an ambassador for Christ and to grow in their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I love Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Love this verse. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20. The Bible says this, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard of him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Remember 2 Corinthians 5, we're a new creature now. We're to put off the old man, put on the new, right? Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust the old man is, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Watch this. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And so listen, folks, you know, God's plan, God's desire, God's intent. Why does God save the lost? He saves them because he loves to watch his children, his born-again Christians. He loves to watch them grow in their relationship with him to the point that they become an ambassador for him. Brother Jerry, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this, folks. The Great Commission is threefold. Win them. Baptize them. That's where our Baptist churches stop. We're good at winning, and we're decent at baptizing. Disciple. Disciple. That's what he's talking about back there. Spend some time. Brother Houston, we had Brother Houston over to our church today. What a blessing he was to our church. He popped in over here. I don't know. I guess he didn't have enough church or something. I don't know. But anyway, he's back there. And listen, folks, you know what? He was talking about how JWs, they're good at discipleship. Mormons, all these other, a lot of these false doctrine, they're good at discipleship. We're good at winning people and baptizing them. How are we doing at our discipleship, okay? Listen, folks, these folks that we win to the Lord, these bus families that we win, the young people, and then the adults that come and the folks that come into church, and boy, they get saved, and boy, they get baptized, and there's excitement, and then after 3 months, you don't see them. God's plan for them hadn't changed, folks. God wants them to be an ambassador, and what they need is, listen, folks, a member from Blessed Hope Baptist Church to go to them and to disciple them and to meet with them and to teach them and train them how to be an ambassador. And by the way, that's not just his job. He can't do it all. And by the way, thank God for all the folks around here that do. But listen, folks, you know what? For all the folks around here that do, I know there's other ones that don't. And boy, there's a challenge right there for all of us, right? But watch this. Let me give you the last thing tonight, number five. This one's good too. Why does God save the lost? Number five, because God receives glory every time a sinner is saved. Amen right there. Last place I'm going to have you go is back to Luke chapter 5. I love the book of Luke. We've stayed mostly there tonight. Luke chapter 5, and look at verse number 17. Luke 5, verse 17. Why does God save the lost? God saves the lost because God receives the glory every time a sinner is saved. Number next, watch this. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. Here's the verse. And it came to pass on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. See that? Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by. Which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. Verse 20, when he saw their faith, he said unto them, Man, thy sins be forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Watch this, verse 22. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? Here it is, verse 24. Watch this. We're talking about, why does God save the lost? Why does God do that? Because every time a lost person's saved, God receives glory from it. Everything God does, he does with the intent of receiving glory to himself by it and through it. Okay? But that ye may know, verse 24, that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy couch and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them and took up that whereon he lay and departed to his own house. Next two words, glorifying God. Watch this, not over yet though, verse 26. Not just the guy, the entire crowd saw what God had done. And they were all amazed and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. Drove in this evening, saw the inflatables out there. I know there were people, Jasonville, Greene County, Linton, that drove past Blessed Hope Baptist Church this morning. And they saw the kids out there bouncing around and sliding or whatever other inflatables you got. I don't know. They got inflatables that'll do anything now. It's crazy. But you know what? Listen, folks. Folks saved today? Some of those folks, I guarantee you, man, there's that crazy church again. I listen, folks. You know what it does? It brings glory to Almighty God. Every single soul that's saved. Brother Jerry, what about that little bus kid? It's just my philosophy. All the rest of it's been Bible tonight. It's just my philosophy. Make the distinction there. I think a little bus kid brings a little bit more glory. I don't know. Little bus kids, boy, they got holes in their knees. Snot all over the face. Come up and want to give the preacher a hug. And I just had my suit dry cleaned. Come on, man. Come on. Come on, bro. Come on. Come on. Come on. Every single lost soul that's saved, Victory Baptist Church, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Bethel Baptist Church, all over this world brings glory to Almighty God. Why? Why? Because of where they were heading and where they're going now. Only God can do that. Only God can take someone on their way to hell, turn their life around, and put them on that path towards heaven. Only God can do that. But Joe, what he's saying, I'm saying this, folks, you know what? 45 years, Blessed Hope has been a beacon in Greene County. Not just Greene County. Started in White River Baptist Church down here, Princeton. 90 people in church today. Two saved, Brother Reiser told me this afternoon he had. To God be the glory. We say that all the time, don't we? To God be the glory. But no, seriously, to God be the glory. Because two folks were saved there, had a folk saved at Victory this week, folks saved here this week. Every single time they get saved, it brings glory to Almighty God. Why does God save sinners, brother? It's a simple message. You didn't learn anything tonight. But boy, it's good to be reminded of. Why did God save sinners? Not to give you a license to sin. Not to give you a fire escape from hell. God save you for five things that I looked at tonight. God has a plan for every life, and that plan begins with salvation. Number two, because of God's great love for them. Number three, because they can't save themselves. Number four, because he loves to watch them become productive servants. Number five, because God receives glory every time a sinner saved. You may have heads bowed and eyes closed tonight. If you're saved tonight and thankful for it, you ought to spend some time at an altar here in just a minute. Thank the Lord for your day of salvation. If you're unsaved tonight, there's altar workers that'll be ready. You ought to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ this evening. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Christian, there's a work to do. For 45 years, Blessed Old Baptist Church has been a standard bearer in our area, in our region, of witnessing, sharing the gospel to the lost, winning folks to Christ, and then discipling them. Stay faithful. That's the chief work. That's the main work of this church. Don't stop. That race that Brother Jesse talked about, it's the same thing. Keep running that race. Keep doing it. Don't stop. You don't need a new method. We dead sure don't need a new message. Just keep the old path. Keep doing it, right? Pastor Ross, maybe come.